sees rages over me. I can't see the light of day for the dark stormy clouds whisper softly, Lord, to my troubled heart. Give me the strength I need to walk on with thee.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I couldn't resist that. I've been waiting. Glory, glory, glory. I felt the right moment had come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been great. And and we're not through yet.
No.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes, and I guess, well, we'll be here part of next week, so maybe this really shouldn't be termed last night.
No.
But sometimes folks get the last night out of us. And a lot of times it's worse than the first night out of us. Hallelujah. The first night you come saying, well, I wonder what this dude's going to do. And the last night you come with a sigh of relief saying, well, he's done all he could do. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I've always tried to have the good service the first night and the best service the last night. Hallelujah. I like to have church. Praise God. It's been good fellowshipping with the Paynes. We appreciate and love them. And they've been so kind to us. And they're a lot of fun. And we appreciate them. And I see in them a tremendous unit, a wonderful pastor, pastor's wife. And we appreciate that for you. And you should be thankful for it. We thank you for all of the food and everything. That Sister Gibson, she really can cook. I don't know how Brother Gibson stays as little as he is. Now, he's not little by the stretch of anybody's imagination, but hallelujah, he could look like some of his sons. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Well, I'm leaving on the right foot, aren't I? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we appreciate all that she has done. And those of you that we have eaten out with, we thank you for it all. And you've been kind. We appreciate your prayer, your fasting, the spirit of worship there is here. And those of you that are visiting, well, you've come on a very dull night tonight. You ought to see these folks on Wednesday or Friday. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No, we really have had church tonight. And we don't allow anybody to harness us and tie us down. And I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. Just get carried away in worshiping God. And I trust that you're not through. We thank you for the offerings and everything that you've done for us. And maybe we've blessed you. I know that you've blessed us. And my wife does send her regrets and also her regards. She wishes that she had been here. And I do too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it didn't happen that way. She's not. She ain't. Hallelujah. And she won't be for the next week or so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand as we go to the scripture tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to help me preach tonight, church, and respond and worship. There are folks here that need God. And if you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost, tonight's your opportunity. You can repent of your sins right back there in the pew. Hallelujah. You can receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We serve a great, big, wonderful, marvelous God. Glory. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians tonight. Read there from the third chapter. Very familiar text. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
All right.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you may think that what I want to preach about tonight is humorous. If you do, well, you can smile. But I want to preach about when God has fun. When God has fun.
All
praise
right.
The Lord. Let's pray before we're seated. Dear Jesus, we come to you.
God,
we love you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your blessings.
God, to hear your word tonight. God bless it.
Dear God, bless and anoint the preaching of the word. Dear God, reach out to men and women that are gathered in this assembly tonight. We give you the glory and the praise for it. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. We magnify your name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated tonight. The Lord bless you. when God has fun. And whenever we begin to think of things, consider things that are beyond our ability to grasp and beyond our intellect to reach out and take hold of that, we attribute to those things feelings that are human. For that is the only way that we know how to express. There are a lot of attributes of God that are expressed in human terminology only because we don't have a word that fully expresses that real attribute. You begin to think of the grace of God, and in reality the word grace does not fully express God's feeling. It does not fully express the gift of God. For the original text, the word grace was a word that was given, it meant a gift given to a friend. And that's not what the grace of God really is. For even while we are at enmity and strife with Him, He still gave Himself for you and I.
Yes,
so our word does no way that it fulfills, and there's no way that it expresses completely exactly what God would try to do for us and what He would like to say to us concerning His grace. Now the Bible speaks and says that He knows the feeling of our infirmities. He knows. He understands our pain, for He felt pain. He knows what it is to be ridiculed and be scorned because He went through some of those things. But on the other hand, I feel like that if God knows pain, if God knows the feelings of our bad times and our bad moments, then certainly we should be able to apply to the character of God that He has a feeling that we could term as joy or happiness.
All right.
Scripture says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says that there was a joy that He was going to experience. There was something that He was going to feel. What is necessary that God would feel joy? First of all, I feel that it is important that there be a liberty there for Him to move as He would like to move. Now the scripture that I read to you tonight, a portion of it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we consider that and we say, well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty for us to move, and there's liberty for us to worship and for us to respond. But there are times that the liberty of God only comes after we've worshiped, after we've praised, for He inhabits the praises of His people. And it's in that worship that we have an assurance that He's going to come down, and then there is a liberty for God to move and touch us as He would like to. For we've opened the door to our heart, said, God, here it is. And You do something with us. You move as You would like to move. You bless as You would like to bless. There are no doubting Thomases. There are no traitorous Judases. Those attributes and characteristics of humanity have been left behind. They have been put aside. And whenever we get to the feeling that we leave our unbelief and our doubt on the outside, and we come to God with a feeling that says, Lord, I do believe, there is no restraint on what God can do and the way that God can move.
All right.
Hallelujah. Unbelief, the opposite of faith. Whenever there is unbelief present in a powerful measure, God cannot work. There was a particular time in His own home region that He marveled at their unbelief. He was not able to perform miracles and do great works because of their doubt, because of their disbelief. He doesn't like, and there is no liberty for God to move. There was no liberty for Him to heal. No liberty for Him to do great works where there is that doubt, that disbelief. There's got to be a people who have a confidence. There's got to be a people who have an assurance in what God is able to do and the way that God is able to move. That's something that God likes. Something that He appreciates. But whenever there is a liberty for the Spirit to move, you're not all of a sudden going to see the Spirit come out and begin to do something. For as I've already said in this revival, Spirit by definition is something invisible.
Right.
You're not going to see it. Whenever the Spirit begins to move, it's going to move through somebody. It's going to work through some individual, some man or some woman, some flesh, blood, some bone, somebody that's sitting in our midst. That's what the Spirit will work with. That's what it will move through.
All right.
It's not just going to all of a sudden happen.
Right.
Instead, the Lord that is that Spirit will come down and begin to move through that individual. The one God, the God of glory, whose name is Jesus. The one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism. That is the very foundation of truth. And one of the things that we stand on tonight with a confidence, it moves into this presence and into our, and we can feel the touch of the presence of God, and we can feel the move of the Holy Ghost. And it's a moment that we leave here saying, I enjoyed that service.
Yes.
Now there are times that the Spirit comes, and in the moving of the Spirit, we squall and bawl and cry our eyes out, but we leave saying, I feel happy that I have been in the presence of God. And then there are other times that we come and we dance and we shout and we rejoice and praise God. And on those occasions we also leave saying, well, the Spirit certainly did a work tonight, and I'm happy with it.
All right.
And I'm thankful for it, and we appreciate it. We're glad for it because that God has moved. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, it does a work. It doesn't just come in here. Instead, it breaks down the bonds of ceremonialism. That's when the Spirit has liberty. That's the reason that we have ran tonight. That's the reason that we've worshipped and danced. It's because that God is not a God of ceremony. He's not a God of ritual. He's not a God of membership cards. But He's a God of truth. He's a God that desires somebody to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And neither is He a God that ties us down with legalism.
Right.
It's not through a formula. It's not through a ritual. It's not through somebody saying, well, you've got to do this and so, and giving you a long formula, and you've got to live it every day of your life. But instead, it's an experience. It's a life in God, where that your life is changed. It's not coming down to a church every day and saying your Hail Marys and all of the routine and the ritual.
All right.
Excuse me if I stomped on your ecclesiastical toes, but that's not the way that our God moves. That's not the way that our God works. Instead, He's a God of love. He's a God that moves. He's a God that desires that we would worship and praise and magnify Him.
All right. I believe that.
Praise God. He is a God. In His liberty, there is dominion. There is a loosing of the dominion that sin has over us. For we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. Hallelujah. What then shall we sin? No. Hallelujah. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey.
Yeah.
His servants ye are, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness.
Right.
Sure, sin no longer has dominion over us because of the liberating power of the Spirit of God.
Yes, all right.
That doesn't mean that whenever we want to, we can just go out yonder and dabble, dabble in sin and then come back and everything's always going to be all right.
Preach it.
Men and women are saying today that I can do anything that I want to, and because one time I joined the church and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm never going to have to do anything else. I can murder people. I can live in adultery and sin, and it's going to be all right. But I want to tell you something. That's not the way that our God works. He is angry with the sinner every day, and if you're living in sin, you're a sinner. No matter what happened to you one time, you may have spoken tongues, been baptized in His name, but if that's not what you're living today, then you're at enmity with God, and there's something wrong between you and He.
I believe it. Thank
you. Hallelujah. The delivering power of God, the liberty of the Holy Ghost, we've felt it here tonight. The Spirit responds to men that come to Him with a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise, with a hunger and a desire in their heart for that real move of God.
All right.
Old Ezekiel, he's a prophet that went through some bad times. He had some hardships, difficulties. One time the Lord spoke to him and took him in a vision to a valley.
Yeah.
Tell about it. Ezekiel got to looking around the valley. He says, and there's a valley full of dry bones. And lo, they were very dry.
Very dry.
Very dry. God comes to Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, do you believe these bones can be an army for me? And old Ezekiel has that good apostolic faith, just like most of us has got. He says, oh Lord, thou knowest. I'm not fixing to get out any limbs on that. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to just say, well, Lord, if it's your will. And that's just the way that most of us act. We'll stand on the promise of God sometime, but we'll say, Lord, now if this is your will, then all we've got to do is lay hold on the promise of God, because he's already made the promise. It's ours. We've got to claim it. It belongs to us now. It's been spoken, and his promises are still yea and amen. He stands there with his face, his faith, and tells God, well, Lord, you know, and if it happens, good. But if it don't, well, it won't be my fault. I won't have looked silly saying it was going to happen. Then the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, well, I'll tell you what, Ezekiel. I want you to preach.
Preach to
them.
Yeah.
Preach to who, Lord? Preach to that valley of dry bones.
Yeah.
I preached to some pretty bad congregations. But no dry bones. Hallelujah. And I don't want any tonight. Glory, glory, glory. That's a hard congregation to get warmed up to. Hallelujah. You're going to have to, that'd take a lot of preparation. But that's what the Lord said. Now you can imagine how silly a man must feel standing up preaching to a bunch of bones.
Right.
What do I preach, Lord? Would you please give me a message? I need to be inspired for this particular moment. This is going to take something to get me excited about this thing. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, Ezekiel, I want you to preach to them and tell them that bones are going to be joined to bones.
Yeah.
Tell them that sinew and flesh are going to appear.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Lord, you sure?
Yeah.
That's the way we do sometimes. Lord, are you sure? Are you sure? Ezekiel, if you'll just stand in obedience to me, I'll show you something, boy. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God likes somebody that has an audacity to go against popular opinion and stand up and say, if God said it, I believe it. If he told me to preach it, I'm going to preach it. If he told me to live it, I'm going to live it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he started preaching. You know what? He probably, it wasn't long before he threw his notes away, because he heard something happening out there on that old valley floor, and bones were running across the floor, and they were being joined bone to bone, and another bone was in its proper place and proper position. Somebody said, well, what was the force that caused them to do that? You know what I believe the force was? I believe the force was the preached word of God. I believe it was the preached anointing of the Holy Ghost that came down. And Ezekiel had something that day that so moved his congregation that they did exactly what the Lord had said they were going to do when the Lord gave Ezekiel that message that day. Hallelujah. I like what God's word's able to do. Hallelujah. You may be here and be so dry and dead and dull. You may have been years since you was alive. But oh, whenever the influence of the preached word begins to get hold of you, it'll move you. It'll reach out. It'll touch you. It'll bring you out of that place that you've been living in, that rut of death that you find yourself tinkering and rolling away.
Yes, amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Ezekiel looked out, had a bunch of skeletons.
Yeah.
Kept on preaching. Now, a skeleton is a long way from being an army. But he kept preaching, and flesh and sinew started appearing. What did he have then? Had a bunch of dead folks. Dead folks are a long way from being an army too. Glory.
Amen.
You don't get much response. I've preached a few funerals, and I don't like it a bit. I don't guess any preacher does. But you don't get anything. I mean, no response, especially from that fellow you're preaching it for. The center of attraction. He says absolutely nothing. He says no amens whenever you make a good point about his life. He does no dancing, no shouting. That's what Ezekiel was preaching to, a bunch of dead people. And then the Lord comes along and says, Ezekiel, I got another message I want you to preach today. This is going to be one of them doubleheaders. I want you to preach to the wind. I tell you what, it's a whole lot easier to preach to dead bones than it is to preach something you can't see. I told a church I was in revival one time. We didn't have any sinners visiting, nobody there. And I got up one night, and I guess I was a brazen youngin'. I got up and told them, well, nobody really here for me to preach to tonight.
I'm going to just preach to the empty pews. I went to hellfire and brimstone, preached an evangelistic message, and now one of them pews got up and came to the altar. I mean, not a single one of them. Glory. And maybe my faith was small, but nobody that was supposed to be sitting on that pew came either, because they weren't there to preach to. That's a difficult kind of message to preach, I want to tell you. That's exactly what Ezekiel was fixing to do. He was fixing to preach to something he never had seen before. But oh, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. And so is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And he started preaching to the north wind, to the south wind, to the east wind, to the west wind. And the wind blew. Hallelujah. And God breathed in on that valley that had once been full of dry bones, that were low, very dry. And they got up and they became an army for God. You say, why did God have so much fun that day? It's because he had one little fellow that's just ignorant enough to say, I'm going to believe you, God. I'm going to be obedient. And whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. Hallelujah. Old Daniel, the decree said, you pray to any other god, you're going to have a date with the lion's den. You consider it just for a moment. Daniel was probably up around 75 or 80 years old, according to most historians. Daniel had been praying three times a day for 60 years or more. That's a long time. How many of you have prayed three times a day for 60 years? That's what I thought. How many of you have prayed three times a day for 5 years? Glory. There was Daniel with his 60 years of three times a day. And the decree said, lion's den's where you're headed. If you look toward Jerusalem and you do any more praying. You know what old Daniel did? He didn't sit back on 60 years of praying. He headed for his window. Hallelujah. Yeah. And there was somebody just peeping around the corner with an ear, man, they were just waiting to hear. They were just listening. Here came old Daniel with his prayer and his cry to God. And here comes the pitty-patter of little feet as they run in to tell the king. Oh, Daniel, that fellow you think so much of, you know where he's at? He's over yonder in that window that looks toward Jerusalem. I want to tell you something. He's praying to a God that he calls Jehovah.
All right.
Hallelujah. You know something? Daniel knew what the verdict was going to be.
Sure he did.
He knew what was coming.
Sure he did.
There are some people here tonight that know that if they keep living, there's going to come the time that they're going to be ridiculed. They know that already there are some that hate them for the name's sake of Jesus Christ. But oh, God enjoys that individual that has a faith and a confidence in him that says, God, I'm going to live for you in spite of circumstance, in spite of consequences, in spite of the fiery furnace, in spite of the lion's den. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do. I'm willing to worship and praise and live for you. Hallelujah. There are a lot of folks that can live for God when everything's going good. Up there on the mountaintop, but whenever crisis time arrives and difficulty begins to come, they'll lay down their cross and they'll give up and quit. Oh, those kind are a dime a dozen. Those are not the kind that God enjoys. But he likes those that'll trudge through the old valley of the shadow of death and say all the time, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. I don't fear any evil, for he's with me. He walks by my side. His rod and his staff, they're comforting me. Oh, I want you to know that God is a deliverer to those that are willing to have courage to live for him in spite of circumstance. Three Hebrew boys, they stood in front of a big statue. The king said to anybody that don't bow down and worship when the band begins to play, they're going to be cast into fiery furnace. going to be roasted. The band started playing. Orchestra stuck up. Song leader started. And here went a bunch of Chaldeans down on their head, worshiping God, their deity. That idol that had been erected. Wasn't really a god. It's just an idol. Didn't have any lips to speak with. If he did, he didn't speak with them. Didn't have eyes, couldn't see them. Just an old dead hunk of metal they'd set up there somewhere. Glory.
All right.
But there was some Chaldean there among the crowd that day. He started looking around, and there in the back row, in the midst of that Babylonian crowd, there was three Hebrews. And they weren't down on their head worshiping no dead god. They were standing up because old Shadrach leaned over to Meshach and said, "Now I tell you what, my mama told me that there wasn't but one God, and that I wasn't to worship any graven images. And oh, I don't care what Nebuchadnezzar says, I've got my faith and my confidence in that one God. And I know that he still is. We may be in a strange and a barren land, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that he lives today."
All right.
No, Nebuchadnezzar, he got so mad. He said, "Bring him in here." He said, "Well, fellas, I know that y'all didn't understand me. I tell you what, I'm willing to pay the band overtime today. I'll get them to play that tune once more." And one of them boys said, "King, you just well hang on to your money. For we are not careful to answer you concerning this." Glory, glory. Some of us are so careful. Some of us are shaking in our boots spiritually all the time. We just barely make it through life. But oh, I like that spirit that says we're not going to bow. We're not idol worshipers. We're not going to fall prostrate and worship your God. We're going to stand up and proclaim the name of our God. We're going to live for him. We're not careful to answer you. For we know that our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. And we know that he will deliver us from your hand. But if he don't, we're never going to bow down. Hallelujah. We'd rather fry in that furnace than we had to bow down and worship that stinking idol. Oh, I imagine that old Nebuchadnezzar, he said, "Well, what about all those other Hebrew friends you got?" Yeah, there's always some old backsliding hypocrite in the audience.
Yeah.
And when the first tune begins to play and the devil begins to make his little waltz or his little rock and roll, they fall right in.
Yeah.
Glory. Oh, and they'll look at another child of God and say, "Well, they're doing it. They're doing it. They're doing it." But oh, I like that one that says, "But we're not careful. That's not what mama told us. That's not what the word says. And we're going to live for God with a courage, with a boldness, with an assurance that our God will deliver us."
Amen. Glory to God.
Glory. I'm excited tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is a man, his visage changed. That meant from being kind and just normally mad, he got doubly mad or triply mad. Or,
yeah.
I don't know exactly how you'd express it, but his visage changed. And he put on an awful face. He turned red and purple and green. He's mad as a hornet. That's pretty mad. And he said, "Heat the furnace." "Well, King, it's already pretty warm over there." "Well, heat it 7 times hotter." Have any Hebrews recanting? No. He said, "Well, bring the strong men of the army. Bind them hand and foot. They bound them. They left their hats on their head. They left their stockings on, their shoes on. And the strong man carried him over to a fire furnace and dropped him in. And then the strong man wilted. You know, Nebuchadnezzar played the fool. He didn't get some little weakling that didn't matter to anything in his army. But he had a bunch of his strongest men get fried over there at the fire furnace putting some other guys in. That's a pretty hot furnace. And old king, he was waiting for him to squall and holler and scream. The only fellas doing any screaming was those fellas that threw him in. So he went over there and went to looking. He called some of his servants over and said, "Oh, what do you see down there?" 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think that we cast 3 into the fire furnace, but I see 4. Well, what does that 4th one look like to the rest of y'all? What does that 4th one look like? Does anybody out there know? Oh, my friend, my God likes those times, and he enjoys those times that he has a child of his that'll say, "I'm going through it," and he's always there to deliver them. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Old David, he started bringing that ark home. He carried a bunch of critters down there to have sacrifices for. That's animals to you Westerners. Cows and sheep. I don't know what all. He had the band ready to play. He had the singers ready to sing. And this time he got things straight. He had some Levites to put it on their shoulder and carry it. Just fun. Glory. And they went down there and they put it on their shoulders and they started walking. They went 6 paces. David stopped them.
All right.
You know how far 6 paces is? That's 30 feet. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 feet. That's not very far. And every 6 paces they offered sacrifice to God. And more than that, they had some fellows there that worshiped. They had some fellows there that sung. They were praising their God. I imagine they sung the song of ascents as they walked up to that city that was going to be the residence of that Ark of the Covenant. It was a glorious and happy time. And the scripture says that David offered sacrifice every 6 paces. And then the very next verse says, "And David danced." Before the Lord with all his might. With everything within him. He danced. He got down to business. There's some folks sitting out there tonight that are saying, "Well, you crazy preacher. Don't you know that preachers are not supposed to get up and sweat? They're supposed to sit back and be quiet and reserved. And
dignified.
They're supposed to be so pious and have one of them collars, you know, that I don't know how you get into them." But glory. That's exactly the way they looked at old David. Here he come marching down the road in his priestly robes. Oh, in his kingly robes. He wasn't a priest, he was a king. Here he come just to march along, king of Israel. I don't know, maybe he had a crown on his head. But here he was in the procession. But it wasn't long before he got excited. He got happy about what was going on around there. Oh, glory. He made some of these folks that have acted up a little bit tonight, he made them act like they're sitting still. He danced. He didn't just get out and kick his leg. He didn't just get out and just do a little two-step. But he got out and with everything he had. You know, Psalms 150 says, praise him. Praise him in the timbrel and the dance. Hallelujah. Glory. You say, well, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. It's in the word. Praise him with a timbrel and with a dance. So we haven't done anything wrong here tonight. There are a few folks that got their dances straightened out and it became a run. Glory. That's about the best dancing I can do is running. Glory. But here's old David. Everybody looking. Say, don't you think you ought to be a little more reserved? You know, God likes somebody that's not too dignified. I just don't feel like God's got too much place for sticks in the mud. Hallelujah. I think he'd rather have mud fences in the rain than he had sticks in the mud. Decipher that for some of these folks. Some of you fellows that know what I'm talking about. He'd rather have somebody to get with it if they're going to do it than to come and go through that little pious routine of opening the book to page 43 and standing there and singing, amaze. No, that's not what God wants. God wants somebody that'll come and get with the program if they're going to worship here. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel wild tonight as Brother Kershaw puts. Glory. Some of you are saying, well, I'm too proud to act like them folks act. Hallelujah. But just trim your sails a little bit, honey. Hallelujah. Just cut out on your bigness. And come on, if old King David can act a little berserk with old Michael looking down out of the window, well, oh, brother, we ought to be able to get with it because there ain't no Michaels here. When God has fun. Hallelujah. I think God liked that procession that day. You know, there's a custom in Israel, over in the far eastern lands. It's a custom that whenever they have a procession, that they hire some half-wit. And they go before the procession, dancing. You know what David did for this procession? He said, now this is God's procession. This is not no marriage procession. This is not a... They probably didn't hire him for them. This is not a 50th wedding anniversary procession. No, this is a procession for God. Yeah. And I'm not fixing to go down to the corners where all the half-wits live and hire somebody to do the dancing today. We're going to have somebody a little bit better than that. We're going to have a king. You know who's done the dancing here tonight? The children of the king. Yes. Hallelujah. The heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, they're the ones that have done it. The ones that are going to rule and reign with him. The ones that are kings and priests with him. Those are the ones that have got carried away and said, well, this is the Lord's possession. And if anybody's going to dance, it's not going to be somebody out there that don't have a whole lot of sense. It's going to be me. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't we having fun tonight? Man, we ought to just be starting. Glory. When God has fun. Oh, Israel, they came to a time and they were so thirsty. And God said, well, you get the elders together. Y'all go out yonder where it's dry and have some of them get some staves and then have Israel get their singing voices in tune. They're fixing to sing a song. Well, Lord, you're going to have to inspire it because we don't feel one on our heart right now. But I tell you what, this is going to be simple. It's going to be spring up. Oh, well, spring up. That's pretty simple. Spring up. Oh, well, spring up. So Israel got out there. The elders, they got their staves. Lord said, go to poking around in the ground with them staves. Go to chipping away at that dry dirt. And the rest of you, y'all say, spring up, oh well, spring up. And I can see Israel as they started singing, spring up, oh well, spring up. They probably did it, you know, like some of the more formal places do. They started that way. Spring up, oh well, spring up. As if they'd had voice cultivation, you know. Been through voice training. Kind of went through the routine. Spring up, oh well, spring up. Oh, but they got carried away for long. For them fellas, as a chipping away at that dirt, one of them reached down there and said, why, this is damp. And they started picking up the tempo a little bit. Spring up, oh well, spring up. Oh, glory. Man, my wife wouldn't believe it if she's here. Spring up, oh hell, spring up. I don't know what caused the water to come, whether it's the staves or whether it's the singing, but after a while, there's a little water down there. See, what'd they do? They quit? No, they had a bunch of folks out there that's thirsty. Those fellas that was using the staves, they didn't just bend over there and drink, and then they get their field and go and say, well, here's the staves. Y'all do some digging if y'all want some water. But they stayed there, and they got water for everybody until they got a well flowing.
Yeah.
Spring up, oh well, spring up. And Israel, they started getting with a routine about then. They saw it started happening. They felt so dumb when they got out there.
Yeah.
They felt so ignorant. And there were some of those seven nations greater than mightier than they were. As out there on some of them hills, they had their binoculars out there. Here's a bunch of idiots out there with a bunch of sticks digging around in the ground. And then the rest of them, they'd got their choir together. And they were singing it loud enough for them fellows on the hill, they could hear it. Somebody said, well, run tell the general that we're not going to have to fight these folks. They're going crazy out there in the valley. Somebody got so thirsty that it looks like they're having heat strokes. Out there singing. They ain't got nothing to sing about. And the world looks at us and they say, well, you bunch of idiots. You don't go to the theater. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't take a dip of snuff. What in the world have you got this thing to sing about? Why in the world do y'all come and act so wild? And they tune their spiritual binoculars in on us. And those old traditional religions, they say, well, we ain't got to worry about them anyway. They're a bunch of nuts. But oh, it's to them fellas that's nuts. That's where the water comes. Oh, it's to them folks that have an audacity. That's when the water comes. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I do feel wild. And like y'all sound wild, feel wild too. What is it that guy says, Zuka? Well, I'm nearly through.
Well, the Bible tells the story of old Moses. He is out there in the desert. He is tending sheep. He looked out there and there's a bush. It's a burning and burning. He started walking toward it. Every once in a while he'd glance up. It's still a burning. He'd look up again. It's still a burning. The closer he got, the brighter it burned. Still a burning. Old Moses said, well, something wrong with that bush. They don't usually burn that long out here. He got up there close to it. He said, well, you know, I think I'm going to take these sheep a different direction this time. I think I'm going to go out there where that bush is burning. You know, there are a lot of you folks that sit out there tonight.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for this thing to burn up. And you've been walking and walking through life. You looked out there, said, well, there's a bush burning. Them folks act wild. Say, well, it'll settle down. It'll burn out here in a while. You kept a walking, kept a burning. Matter of fact, started getting brighter, started getting bigger, started getting better. Glory. Well, long before you got over to the place where the road was crossing, that's where you're at tonight. You can either walk down that old road and every once in a while glance back and say, well, it looks like it's still a burning over there. Because you waited this long for it to burn out. I want to tell you something, dearie. It ain't fixing to burn out. Hallelujah. This thing's a fire. It's a flame. This church is a flame. It's not fixing to be embers. It's not fixing to quit growing. It's not fixing to quit worshiping. It's not fixing to dry and blow away like some of these dogmatic traditionalists would like for it to. So I tell you what I'd do if I was walking where you're walking. I think I'd get off the old beaten path. And I'd get out there where that bush is burning. I'd say, well, that sure is something. I think I'm fixing to go see about that. And just get on out here on holy ground. I want to tell you something. If you've ever been on holy ground, common ground won't do you anymore. Hallelujah. God likes somebody. I'll say, well, I'm sick and tired of this dead, dry mess I'm living in. I'm fixing to get off the beaten path and go over yonder and see what that bush is doing. I'm fixing to go see what's happening in that church where they worship, where they dance, where they run, where they act half wild some of the time. God likes them kind of folks. And whenever they get there, he says, well, dear, take off your shoes. Hallelujah. This is holy ground. Glory, glory. When God has fun, is when somebody will say, spring up, oh well. It's when somebody will dance before the Lord with all his might. When somebody will stand in obedience, although it looks so stupid. Whenever somebody will leave their old beaten path of traditionalism and say, God, if that bush is burning because you're doing it, I want to be part of it. Hallelujah. Let's stand back up. Glory.
Satan, the kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice.
Jesus said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Your kingdom's coming down.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice
of Jesus.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, come on. Oh, if you need the Holy Ghost, come on. If you don't have this lamb within you, come on tonight. Come down to this altar to worship God. Get it where you're standing.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
thunder's coming down. Well, Satan, gonna clap your kingdom down. Satan, gonna clap your kingdom down. Well, Satan, go to sing your kingdom down. Well, Satan, gonna dance your kingdom. Satan, gonna dance your kingdom down. I heard a voice. Jesus say, Satan, be a good night to get the Holy Ghost. Well, Satan, your kingdom coming down. Ooh. Satan. Well, Satan, go to sing your kingdom down. The voice of Jesus say, Satan, go to sing your kingdom down. Well, Satan, go to pray your kingdom down. Satan, go to pray your kingdom down. I heard the voice of Jesus say. Your kingdom coming down.
Jesus, you need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Sin has dominion over your life. Come on tonight. Come to this altar. Repent of your sins. Give your heart to God. Oh, come to the burning bush. Come to revival. Come to this move of God. Get involved in it.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I feel a faith atmosphere here tonight. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, as the saints of God begin to sing this song again, just come stand in the front, raise your hands to God, believe with all your heart, you can have it tonight. How many believe it? All right, I believe it. When you feel the inspiration, step out from your seat and just come raise your hands. Just talk in tongues on the way if you'd like to. Well, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Is there anybody? Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard the voice Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.